speakers will look at the audience and say, oh my gosh, it's just 10 people here. I'm not going to do what I typically do, but you never know who's in the audience. So it's very important to really understand the landscape of where you're going.
Hey, this is Mark Asquith, CEO and co-founder at Rebel Base Media, the UK podcasting experts. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, it's time that I started my own podcast, because as we know, podcasting is a wonderful way to build audience engagement, a wonderful way to interact and connect with your audience, and it's a wonderful way to build your business. Well, you can get started with your own podcast today for just £1 by checking out Captivate.fm, the world's only growth-oriented podcast hosting company, analytics platform, and distribution center. Go and start podcasting today for just £1 at Captivate.fm.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Marketed Not Live. This is the podcast for marketers who are looking at to their own community to find out what's working now and, you know, what's coming up. Now, in every episode, we're going to bring to you a guest to talk about a specific marketing topic that's going to help you broaden your horizons. So, I don't know, maybe you work in branding and you need to know a little bit more about things like SEO, or maybe you know one of the single figure people who don't know anything about social media and you want to know a bit more about that. You know, we've got everything here for you. We've got some great guests lined up, including speakers from this year's Marketed Live, which takes place, of course, on Monday the 30th of September 2019 at the magnificent Nottingham Contemporary. And it would be great if we had you there with us. So please make sure you go and check out marketed.live online and get your hands on one of the limited number of tickets left. Today, I love our guest. I mean, I love all of our guests, but today I particularly love our guest. Felicia Jones is a US TV money expert. She's a TEDx speaker, an MC, a STEM advocate, yay to STEM, and founder of I Find You Clothes, bringing over 18 years of research, analytics, and entrepreneurship experience to those who want to use public speaking to share the message of their company, their business, or even just their expertise on stages across the globe. Now, I know her from seeing her out and about, and actually I have met her in person, so that's always a good thing. She's been featured on stages everywhere, the US, Canada, the UK. She's been on TED Radio Hour, NBC, Daily Blast Live, FinCon Podfest, Women in Travel Summit, more. She's basically everywhere. She holds a degree in computer science, a master's degree in systems engineering. I mean, is there no end to this lady's talents? And a former scientist for the US Navy. Now, when she's not deep in researching in the internet, she blogs about her eclectic list of ever-growing life experiences, including, believe it or not, baton twirling, performing with a circus, and RVing across the USA. Now, do you know what RVing means? Because I didn't till about 10 minutes ago, and it means basically taking your caravan out. Camping and caravanning, a vastly popular British pastime as well. She's been a cheerleader. Oh, she's done everything, basically. Felicia Jones, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Paul. Thank you so very much for having me. I really should pay someone to just read my bio to me every morning when I wake up. That's awesome.
It's very inspiring. You've done a lot.
I have. I kind of say I'm like the Forrest Gump of my life. I just find myself in these interesting positions and experiences.
I think there's lots of things that we can talk about in there, but we've got you here because you're one of our key speakers this year at Marketed Live. You're coming all the way from Denver, Colorado. So I'm really appreciative of that. And, you know, one of the reasons that you're coming is because when we think about who's going to speak at Marketed Live, we're really looking for people who are professionals who can actually do this without, you know, cocking it up. But we think about the topics that are going to be the most relevant for the audience. And, you know, we're trying to do things a little bit differently as well. You know, we don't necessarily need to listen to the latest Twitter strategy or something like that, or a talk on why you should now be using social media. We kind of get that. I'm more interested in using some of the things that are different ways to talk about your business, to market your business, and to show some of the ways in which you can work with, work with people to express knowledge and all that kind of stuff. So speaking is your bag. When did you realize the power of speaking as a marketing tool?
You know, it was such a weird one. I worked with a couple of business coaches, and they always told me that, hey, you need to get on stage to market your business. And I tried to avoid it like the plague. I didn't want to get on stage, but I also didn't have a budget. I didn't have a budget to do a lot of the social media marketing the right way, and I couldn't do advertising. So it was like that last little thing that I could do to get myself out there. And a couple of years ago, I just said, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go for it. I shared a stage with Darren Hardy. He's a former editor of Success Magazine, and he was just saying, you know, after interviewing all of these amazing people around the world, Oprah Winfrey's, the Richard Bransons, he said what he has noticed is that they only do one thing at a time, at most three. And he was just like, if you find the one thing that's good for you and go after it. And after seeing him talk, I said, you know what, this is the thing that works for me. I'm just going to double down, get out there and market my business on stage because it's working. So that happened about 3 years ago, and it has been a journey ever since then, just being on stage and being able to travel. I love traveling, so that was also my thing. If I could find a speaking gig to travel, I'm a happy girl.
So you've been speaking longer than 3 years, though, right?
Actually, my business started 5 years ago. So probably, let's say it's 2019. So my business started in 2014. At the beginning or the middle of 2015 is kind of when it started. And then I just decided to really focus on it. And so it hasn't been that long.
And was that because you could see that it was working then?
Yes, I saw that it was working. It was the one thing that I could do. And it was the one thing that was absolutely working just to get my business in front of people, to grow the email list, and to just put my name out there. And around 2017, I decided, you know what? I think it was around 2016. I decided that, you know what? I just need to build authority so people will know my name so that, you know, I can be a talked about person. And that was kind of one of my biggest goals of getting on stage, just to have my name out there.
So the brand awareness was the thing that you were looking for. And I guess, you know, when you're on stage, one of the things that you get by being on stage is you get that immediate feedback. You can tell whether it's going well, whether you're absolutely bombing because of the reaction. So that's, you know, that gives you some immediate feedback. But how do you then know that what you did on stage translates into leads or inquiries or even sales? What sort of thing, how did you know that that was doing something other than just getting people to talk to you?
Well, one of the biggest things I noticed, sometimes when you get on stage, you can't directly sell your product, but I was actually trying to get people on my email list or into discovery sessions because I just had a coaching business. And what I realized after I got on stage, and, you know, this is, you know, failing a few times of trying to understand how to make it work after I got off stage. When I actually started going after getting people on my email list, I realized I was converting about 60% of the room onto my email list.
Wow.
And from there, you know, converting people into discovery sessions, it dropped down quite a bit. It dropped down to about 20%. And then I had a close rate of around 5% of people that would, you know, actually work with me. At that time, my program was a little bit more high ticket. So it worked out very well. And if I could just get them on my email list, that was perfect. If I was able to directly sell or mention a product from stage, I actually got people who would, you know, they call it the back of the room sales, people who would go sign up then. But the other thing that started happening, especially when I decided to focus more on speaking, being around other speakers on stage, that's how I started closing business. Now, I would get on stage to talk about money and budgeting, and that's my sweet spot. But when I started my I call it my little side hustle project, that's now my new company, talking to other speakers, helping them research and finding gigs. That was where I was closing business behind the scenes. So I was closing business with people in the audience. I was closing people behind the scenes. I was building my name, and it worked. And it's just amazing, especially when you start meeting all these people, when you do have something new coming out. Now I'm able to call people, ask for help, get referrals from them. But over time, I just realized that getting out there, putting your name out there, it just so works in so many ways that you really don't pay attention to, even beyond sales and even sales that come later. So it's been an amazing ride.
I hadn't thought about that last point, actually, about the network that you build by being mm-hmm. on, you know, let's call it the circuit. Mm-hmm. But by being on stage and by seeing other speakers, you're right, I guess, you know, the power of meeting up with those other speakers by talking to them and then doing that sort of, in addition to the any initial sales that you have by the audience, you've got the mm-hmm. the sales that you might make from, like you say, having that network and getting them to, I don't know, act as influencers maybe to what it is that you're doing. So that's, exactly. That's, I don't know, it's like a double whammy really, but that's you would say that's been successful as well then?
Oh, wow. That's been very successful. Quite a few of my speaking gigs have come from just meeting other people, referrals of business. I mean, I met you, so that's amazing.
Well, it just got me thinking about things that I've done and how some of them have come from, you know, a phone call where they've said, oh, we were, you know, you were recommended by, you know, a person mm-hmm. who is another speaker. And, you know, sometimes it's because they wanted them first and they couldn't do it. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't mind no. if I get it. I don't mind being second choice, you know, as long as they don't advertise on the bill. You know, you could have had this person, but actually they weren't available. So we went for, you know, BizPool. As long as they don't do that's fine. But that's, I guess that's also about other people who are speaking, seeing you speak, seeing the quality of what you do and making that recommendation to other people. How important is then those speakers in getting other speaking engagements?
You know, it's so important that when you do show up to speak, you have to always remember it's not just about the audience that you're trying to convert. You kind of have to be open to everything that's going on in the room. You know, making sure you talk to the event coordinator, the host, or the owner of the event, talking to the other speakers, because sometimes us speakers, we can get into our own little cliques and not talk to other people. We can get into shy mode really quick. And you have to really realize that when you are there, you are marketing all parts of you. Not only are you just marketing on stage to show people your expertise and your skills, but you're also talking to those other speakers, you're talking to those vendors, and you just have to be open the entire time, because you never know. I've lived on this principle. You never know who's in the room. You never know who needs you at that moment. You never know who will refer you. And it's been even extremely important when people have seen you speak twice, they'll eventually probably will start working with you. So it's not just a one-time deal. It really is a long-term strategy of looking at that room and knowing who's in that room and bringing your A game and always showing up. Because sometimes I think speakers will look at the audience and say, oh my gosh, it's just 10 people here. I'm not going to do what I typically do, but you never know who's in the audience. So it's very important to really understand the landscape of where you're going. And maybe this is just me because I nerd out way too much over this and I'm super observant, but it works in so many different ways. And you just never know where that one speaking gig can take you and where those referrals will come from in the future as well.
That is so, so good. Because the word of mouth marketing is a huge thing anyway. But
yes,
I suppose in the speaking world where you've got your evidence there because you're on stage. So mm-hmm. whoever is in the room can see how you're performing. And that might be a customer or potential customer, but it might mm-hmm. be, as you say, someone from a different organization who is mm-hmm. there as a guest anyway, but maybe run something themselves and then wants to talk to you about possibly doing something there. And I've certainly had opportunities in that way. I know plenty of other people who are speakers who also get similar opportunities. And then, of course, you know, when you're at that secondary gig, you know, that's when you might get the big deal. So you, yes. So I guess, you know, it does make sense to pay attention to multiple different audiences there. And that's what the things that I'm hearing from you really is more about the craft of and the professionalism, I guess, as well, of speaking. So you're not just like turning up and delivering your thing and going. You, like you say, you're thinking about who's in the room, talking to the event organizer, making sure that they're happy, doing a professional job for them, because you want what? The recommendation, you want the connections and all the rest of it, right?
Yes, you want the testimonials, you want the reviews, you want the referral. And you know, I mean, most of this is networking on a big scale, because most of us won't become the keynote speakers. We will stay in this world of speaking to market our brands and our business. So that means we kind of have to pay attention to everything. Whereas some of the highly paid keynote speakers, they're just getting paid for a job. They'll come and do a great, they'll do a great job, but then they'll leave instantly. Whereas, you know, someone like you and I, it might be best to, all right, let's stay in this room for a while just to see who's here, who's talking to us. And the other thing that I have used when it comes to speaking engagements, and that's either to get another speaking gig or to convert a client, I always invite people to see me speak, no matter where I am in the world. You know, I literally go out and find at least two people to invite to see me speak. And I was telling you before we even recorded that I know about five people that I've already invited over to the UK to see me speak. And typically is either I want to work with them in the future as a client, or I want to do the ultra networking thing. I want to introduce them to other people. And or I'm trying to go after another speaking gig. And the reason why I do that is, one, it makes you happy because I brought some people who bought tickets. Yes. The organizers always appreciate that.
Definitely.
Then two, if I'm trying to close a client, I can network and introduce them to other people in the room that might be interested in their services. Everyone loves that. And then three, I can just, somebody can see me on stage so that I can kind of give that visual proof that I know what I'm talking about and I can help them. So it's a really big thing to think about, but that's how I've been able to kind of use speaking as more than just getting on stage, but to close the clients, to meet the new people, and to get that next referral as well.
Do you know, I hadn't thought about inviting a potential client to see me on stage. Like I hadn't thought about that because, you know, I suppose I'm just like so focused on like, can I not mess it up?
Yeah.
But yeah, I can see that, because when do you get necessarily an opportunity like that to outwardly project what your knowledge is? When you're in a sales meeting, you know, where you're trying to pitch your work, you know, it's much more of a round table thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really do like, you know, death by PowerPoint slide presentation pitches and stuff like that. It's much more of a conversation, whereas actually when you're on stage, you get the, you know, you have your moment, you get to talk with authority. Mm-hmm. Hopefully uninterrupted.
Hopefully.
I have had interruptions. But you know, so I think that's a great way to think about how speaking also, you know, how you can use a client, or sorry, how you can use speaking to bring a client on that journey, to show your authority. One question that I wanted to ask you is, maybe this is me just being an event organizer and trying to find speakers and seeing what speakers are out there. And particularly because at Marketed Live, we really are looking for speakers that may not be household names. They may not be the famous people. It's interesting that you referred to keynotes and stuff like that, because there are obviously like a lot of keynote speakers where we've heard them before and maybe they pull in a crowd, but maybe they've done every gig anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's been, I'm not saying it's been heard before, but you know, often a lot of speakers will have their talk that they do, you know, for either for that season or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested in looking. So when I search for speakers, I see a lot of speakers. You know, everybody wants to be a speaker. Why? Yes. Why do you think that is? Is that because they recognize the importance of it, or is it something else? Is it an ego thing? Why do you think there's so many speakers?
Is all of the above. I think a lot of it is a little bit of his ego, because you have some people who just want to be the next Tony Robbins, the next Oprah Winfrey. I always joke, I said, gosh, if I can get a dime for every time somebody told me that, I would so be a billionaire right now. So you have a little bit of the ego, because people want the spotlight on them. And usually sometimes people do a couple of speaking gigs, and then now we can call ourselves a speaker. It's kind of like with me getting a speaking gig in Canada. Now I'm an international speaker. I think sometimes with business owners, we will take whatever we can get to market ourselves just to get some spotlight on us. And a lot of people do want to speak. And sometimes it's a little hard to be that professional speaker while running a business, because speaking on that level is a business in itself. But I think a lot of it is just people want as many eyes on them as they possibly can, whatever will give them credibility, because getting on stage does give you credibility.
Yeah.
Showing up on stage is such a big deal. So we just take it and run with it. Now, the problem that I find with a lot of people who call themselves speakers or use that little title is that most people don't know how to get on stage, and they're not on stage consistently. So I don't really know, like, if you've done like 2 speaking gigs, if you can call yourself a speaker, but I find that most people don't know how to get on stage on a regular basis to keep calling themselves a speaker.
So, I mean, in one sense, it may have lost its power if everyone's a speaker. But on the other hand, if you want to be a speaker, you've got to put yourself out there as a speaker. And if, you know, it's a way of marketing your business. So why not do it? So I guess the trick is then how you demonstrate that. So, for example, in the process of becoming a speaker for Marketed Live, you know, I have criteria, you know, and one of the things I'm specifically looking for is evidence. You know, I'm looking for your TED talk. I'm looking for, your video of a talk. I'm not actually looking for a showreel, because the thing that I find with showreels is that, you know, it doesn't tell me enough about the quality of a talk. I need somebody to be engaging from beginning to end. And I would rather put the effort into watching a 45-minute speaking keynote or something like that that you've done to understand that. So does it therefore become a case of saying, well, look, having evidence is a good way to identify those that are regular speakers and those who maybe are more aspirational?
You know, the evidence is so key to all of this. And especially because I know with your expertise in the digital marketing and everything like that, that evidence is so important if you want to keep getting on stages, if you want to keep getting that credibility. And I like to think of speaking as a credibility piece, not just, okay, I call myself a speaker, and then, okay, I did 2 speaking gigs 3 years ago, but someone who's actively getting on stage, even on your social media channels, you could see like, oh my gosh, they're actually at this event. They have the logos on their website. So I see that as the distinction between someone who is a speaker that's actually getting out there. And what's so funny about this is, you know, the power of social media and the power of showing consistency. When I was one of those people, I never liked taking pictures. So our dear sweet friend, Mark Asquith, when I met him a couple of years ago, he kept saying to me, he said, you got to take pictures at all of these events. And I was like, yeah, whatever, maybe, I don't care. And when I actually started taking those photos and showing that I was actually out there speaking, I actually got business from it, because people said, oh my gosh, you look like you're consistent. Maybe I'll actually talk to you now. I was like, wow, okay, you didn't talk to me before. But I have noticed that evidence does separate you from the person who calls themselves the speaker to someone who's actively getting out there talking about their business, because that's another way of inviting people, like, hey, I'm here. Why don't you come see me speak? I have a couple of free tickets if you can negotiate and get those. But it also is not the same as the professional speakers, those who are hitting the big, big, big stages and getting the $50,000 just for 10 minutes of breathing. But, people do it. I have no shame. Yeah, but wow. It does show that you're out there, your business is out there, and it's that other credibility piece that people are actually listening to you. Like, okay, you're talking about this one subject and people and audiences kind of care about it. Maybe I should pay a little bit more attention to you as well. So yeah. And I book speakers here as well in Denver. And that's the same thing. I want to see the proof. I don't need a show reel. I don't necessarily need your speaker one sheet. I want to actually see that you're engaging with the audience. And I try to look at photos to see how many people are on cell phones.
Oh, okay. Well, as you're taking a picture of whatever it is that they're doing.
No, the people who are, you could tell there's a difference. I say is when people have their cell phones low, like they're trying to hide it, that means they're not paying attention to you.
Oh.
When they have the cell phone high, they're either taking a photo or trying to take notes. So I noticed that. That's how I know if people aren't paying attention to me when I watch other speakers.
I'm so going to go and review loads of pictures now. You know, as well, some of the things that I've done, the event organizers then like sent the pictures, like here's the official photographer link and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just there picking the ones of me going, okay, right. Okay. Well, I look good there, or I'll use that one, but I haven't thought about, you know, what are the audience doing? So that's definitely an action after this, is to go and have a look at those images and see.
Well, you have to pay attention. And even when you're on stage, that's usually the first, I'm always fascinated by speakers who don't observe the audience, especially when they're rambling on and no one is paying attention, but they don't do anything to connect with them. So my quick trick for anyone on stage and even in your photos, if everyone's phone is very low and their heads are down, 9 times out of 10, they're not paying attention to you.
Right.
When I've noticed when people take notes on their phone, they either have their elbows on the table and they're trying to watch you and take notes, or they're recording at the same time. So that's usually my little trigger. So yeah, pay attention to that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, another one that I find, so I like look for people with eye contact, like who's looking at
me.
Yes. And what are they doing? And I always like latch on to that one smiley person. There's usually one smiley person who's got your undivided attention and they're giving you positive signals. I latch onto them. They are now my best friend. You know,
of course. I call it, they give good audience.
They're so wonderful. They're so wonderful. And I have to say, I always try and find them afterwards and thank them, because it's really nice when, you know, if you are, because I get nervous before I go on. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's just reassuring to have somebody give you that encouragement. It's like, you know, if your mom was there,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Like, you know, the other thing that I do, it depends on the room, but I actually try to meet a few people. And I've noticed when you meet a few people before you talk, they'll eventually start sitting in the front of the room or close to the front. So it gives you someone to talk to.
Right. Okay.
So I like that as well.
So I just want to pick up on just back on the authority thing a little bit. So I was just thinking about people that I know who very much talk industry specific stuff. So let's say they're not like a professional speaker, but they do a lot of speaking gigs at their industry conference. They're known within their sector. What we're saying here, isn't it, that if you don't have that authority and you're looking to find a way to get your business more well known, that speaking or putting yourself out there to speak and delivering something that shows your authority helps people understand that you have that knowledge, but that there are ways in which you can help that along a bit by, you know, like you say, going to meet people beforehand, bringing people along with you, and then becoming like the person that's known in your industry kind of sets you apart, doesn't it, from a lot of the people that are also in your industry. I mean, I guess I'm trying to kind of take it out of a marketing sense, because there's a lot of marketing speakers, right? But I think there are lots of people in marketing understand this, but people who aren't in marketing but are working in industry may be thinking about their CEO or somebody else within their business that they think, well, maybe I can push them out. Is that something that's possible for somebody within a business to push their boss out to do this kind of thing?
Of course. I mean, if the boss is the face of the company, or you can make the boss the face of the company, it's just another way to show that credibility and to get them out there, because it's so key. And in this day and age, we do have a lot of social media. We have a lot of people that will sit behind a computer. And it is, I think it's so important for someone in charge to get out there and share their views, share their expertise, and make more of a connection inside of their industry, because it's just so key, because we like to do business with people we know, like, and trust. And if you're not getting out there, you're not connecting with the people, you might be missing out on some opportunities to really do that. And I say there's two sides of the speaking when you're out there. Speaking inside of your industry can sometimes be a little tricky, because you need to be able to talk about your industry going forward in the future, things that other people haven't been exploring, because in your industry, you're not a unicorn. You're just like everyone else. So you have to set yourself aside from them. Either you have to talk a little bit different about how you're growing your company and how you're putting yourself out there. And then there's the non-industry, going to a different industry where you are the unicorn, you are the go-to marketing person. Those are the ones where you will get more clients. The ones in your industry, you'll build more authority and probably get more stages. So you kind of have to look at it in two different ways. And the best example I can give, because I originally started off speaking about money, I wanted to speak at FinCon, but at FinCon, which is a financial bloggers conference, they don't really want you talking about money because you're in a room of other money nerds. Mm-hmm. So I put together a talk of how I got more speaking gigs to market my money business. And lo and behold, that took off on this whole other level that I was not really trying to go for. But in those industries, and when I'm around my people, I have to speak a little bit differently, but it gives me that credibility to get on stage to kind of get my name out there. But I also go into other industries where I am the sole money person. Nobody else comes there. So I always get a speaking gig. I always get clients, and it's worked out very well. But I honestly do think, you know, people should push their bosses out there to put a face with the company and put a voice with the company as well.
Cool. Now, you're obviously going to be talking a lot about this at Marketed Live in September. So yes. I want to ask you, before we move on to our quick fire round, who is a speaker that you see and that you admire, apart from me?
Apart from you, yes. You are the one I admire. There is no other person.
Back at you.
I don't have one particular person. I do watch a lot of the big time speakers. They're pretty interesting to me, but they're on such a different level. I like to watch ones who are trying to make a name for themselves and their company. I'll actually tell you, the one person I did watch a lot was Mark Asquith. I know I'm not just going for brownie points here, but and there's another young lady here in the United States. Her name is Cheryl Woods. So those are people that I watch, and just seeing where they were and how their speaking careers are going in very different directions. But, you know, watching Mark, how he got on stage to build authority inside of the podcasting world, and it's worked very well.
Oh, it has.
And it's worked very well. So that's a great way to call in a lot of favors when you need them. And then there's the one young lady, just watching her actually go into the profession of being a professional speaker. It's really fun just to watch and just to see people get out there. And then there's the people who just say, this is not my gig. And I love watching them as well. So yeah, I'm cool. A stalker.
Well, the great thing is that there's lots of inspiration out there. You know, I've mm-hmm. certainly seen people that, you know, I didn't expect to be that good and have blown me away. Because, I mean, maybe it's because I had low expectation, or maybe something that I just didn't know. It's usually that I just didn't know.
Yeah.
Who they were. But, you know, I will admit that I have seen people, I've seen them on the bill and gone, yeah, you know, whatever, you know, make some notes at that point or whatever. But then I have seen them and I've gone, okay, I've really underestimated their skill here. So I guess, you know, always try and see people who you don't know, just in case, because you never know who you don't know. I mean, I watched the Brené Brown? What's her name?
Brené Brown.
Brené Brown. Never heard of it before. but I watched it on Netflix because everyone was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now she's obviously quite a big deal, and I didn't realize this, but I really liked her style. You know, it was very conversational.
Well, and that's the other thing. You got to figure out your style on stage. And I think a lot of speakers, we get stuck into trying to be like other people. And it does take a while to figure out your style, how you want to show up and how you want to present on stage. And I love watching how people do that. And the other thing that's fascinating is just because someone is good doesn't always mean they'll always get on stage. It's a weird little thing, because a lot of us will get scared to get on stage because, oh, well, I'm not like Brene Brown. But or you'll see someone who got on stage and they're actually not that good. And you just wonder, how did they get on stage? And it was because they did the marketing, they did the networking, and they weren't afraid to ask to get on stage. So there's a range of people who get on stage. So but, you know, you got to get up there and figure out if it's what you want to do. But in the end, it's fun. You get a lot of freebies when you get on stage. I love it. The best one has been tacos. I get tacos. I love it.
Cool. Okay. Right. I've got some questions for you. Some quick fire questions. Are you ready?
Okay. Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Now this is sort of quick fire, but let me tell you, Felicia, it's not been quick fire in any of the podcast episodes that we've done. All right. So, but they are the standard questions. They are similar questions I've asked everybody. So it's good to compare notes. So I'm thinking about marketing. Who is absolutely killing it in marketing right now, whether that's a person or a brand or whatever?
I actually like Meet Edgar. They are the social media posting. I actually like how they do their marketing, and it's very low key but to the point. I don't know, for some reason, I always get drawn back to them and their newsletters and all of their Instagram posts. And of course, I love you on your stories. Your IG stories are just
they're awesome.
They're awesome.
I'd like to say that there's some forethought into there, but you know, it can be anything. I mean, what I would say, a thing that I found very recently is if you ask for fashion advice as a 40-something-year-old man, then people will give it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So take the weirdest topics and go with it. Okay. Best technology that you're using at the moment.
Best technology I'm using at the moment, has to be my cell phone. I know it sounds very corny, but my cell phone is awesome. I could literally do just about anything on it, and I'm loving it because all of my apps are there. I'm keeping up with everything.
What have you got, an iPhone?
Android? I know, I'm an Android person. I have a real phone.
So what is the make and model of the phone itself then?
I have a Sony Xperia.
Oh,
and
haven't heard that for a while.
Yeah, it's really cool because I get to do my videos on here, because I went through that whole thing of looking at all this video editing software, and I have this one video editing software on here. I can make videos and just post them. Yeah, it's been great. I love it. I save a lot of money.
Cool. Now, aside from your own, because your own is a very good podcast, what is the best podcast that you're listening to at the moment?
Oh my gosh, this is a hard one. We just got finished listening, my husband and I, to the official, unofficial Game of Thrones podcast.
Oh, okay.
We binged on that one, and it was really good until they got to the end and everybody didn't like the ending of Game of Thrones. But we did a lot of binging on that one, and we like to listen to the true crime podcast. So those have been fun, and we're listening to one. It's a little deep, but it's on NPR. It's called White Lies. It's a deep one, but we've been listening to that one recently as well in the car.
Okay, we'll go and check that out. Advertising. You sort of hinted at stuff like with Meet Edgar, but is there a great ad on the TV or radio or something that you've seen?
A great ad on TV or radio? Okay, I don't know if, well, Charmin, the toilet paper company.
Okay, because?
They have these little bears that talk about the toilet paper. Do you have those commercials?
We have Charmin, yeah.
Okay, so they have those little bears, and then it's where the little the little baby bears, the parents are like, who left their underwear on the floor? And the kid comes in, oh, it's mine. And then they start singing, my hiney's clean.
Okay, I'm we don't have that.
I'm like, oh my God. I don't know. I just remember it. So
that, I mean, to be fair, that sounds something that would go down well in the UK. I'm told that it's called Cashel over here, not Charmin, but it used to be called Charmin. I don't know why it's called Cashel over here. Maybe Charmin means something in one of the many European languages over here. Oh, so okay. that's often what happens. Someone creates something, goes, yeah. No, in Spanish, okay. That means prostitute, yeah. Or something.
Yes, I know.
So, okay. Look, you're coming over to Nottingham and we really appreciate that. Why should somebody else come and see us in Nottingham?
Because the cool people will be there.
Totally right. Totally right.
Like, duh. they should come because, you know, I love going to these conferences and you can meet so many different people and get different ideas about marketing, especially the people in my world. We don't jump into marketing. We only think social media, but there's so many other aspects of marketing. And I've been following you with the chatbots, which I'm just so ignorant of. But I think people should come and just learn what other people are doing and also to get an idea of what the future is going to look like with marketing, because I think things are about to change significantly for everyone out there.
Excellent. I couldn't agree more. So, okay, mm-hmm. Where can people get in touch with you, Felicia?
Oh, you can find me on all the social media channels. My handles are at Keep Up With Mrs. Jones, and you could just see the craziness of my life. But if you're interested in getting on stage, you can go to ifindyouclothes.com and you could sign up and we can chat. I'll actually give you my cell phone number. We can get on the phone.
Awesome. See, that's proper marketing. That is giving people a telephone number to call. Thank you so much, Felicia. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. I can't wait to see you again in September. It really will not be long now. No. So it's getting super exciting, and all those people that keep telling me that they're coming, and it's getting really close. So thank you so much. I can't wait. Thanks for being on the podcast, and I can't wait to see you in September.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Well, that's all for this episode of Marketed Not Live. If you've enjoyed today's show, then you know what? Please, please, please leave us a review on the podcast platform of your choice. Help spread the word about this and about Marketed Live. 2019 on the 30th of September. It's marketing, folks. That's really what we want. We want that. Now, remember that our event brings together experts from all marketing disciplines. So whatever part of marketing is your thing, you know, we really need to see you there. So visit marketed.live for all the info on speakers. We've got the travel options there. We've got discounts on hotels. Read the blog post from your fellow attendees and speakers. And if you want to send us a blog in, we will definitely publish it as long as it's about marketing. So with that, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.